Adventuresome freedom fans, here we are, the Faith and Freedom Show again. I am David Allen Carmichael, and I can't help it. We're here with the Liberty Works Radio Network, broadcasting on the Eagle 104.3 FM. This is my Faith and Freedom Show. I am going to talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Our number is 888-850-1872. That's toll free, 888-850-1872. I was discussing in my previous segment some discussion that went back and forth from Vice President Cheney, ex-Vice President Cheney, with current President Barack Obama, discussing some of the old ideas of, or actually the previous administration's attempts at countering terrorism by using interrogation techniques that were what they called enhanced. In the good old days, they called it torture. In the Inquisition, they called it torture, and that's what they use to get people to admit their heresies and things like that. So it was something that is done to try to find evidence to convict somebody of a crime, as they'll use their testimony about themselves in order to, to basically have something in court that they could use to justify some long-term effective punishment upon them. In the U.S. Constitution, Article, isn't the amendment to the U.S. Constitution, Amendment Number 8, it says, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments. In a show that I did recently, it turns out that the previous administration had made the claim that these enhanced interrogation techniques were not torture, were not cruel and unusual. Of course, there have been other people and places and institutions around the country that have for hundreds of years, not around the country, around the world, that for hundreds of years have understood that waterboarding, which has been around a long time, they used it in the Spanish Inquisition, I'm sure they probably used it before that, is that it was torture. That's exactly what it was. It was very squarely called torture. And those who framed the Constitution of this country, they understood that that was what was cruel and unusual, and that's what would not be used. Now, was it just about it being cruel and unusual? Was that the bad thing? You see, it wasn't just a cruel and unusual punishment that, say, somebody, if you got convicted of a crime, that was off the list of things that you could use as punishment. What the founders understood was that those tortures were being used as a means to have somebody testify against themselves. Let's see what the U.S. Constitution says about rights in a criminal case if you're suspected of a crime. It says, no person shall be held to answer for a capital, that's where you're going to die for your offense, or otherwise infamous crime, unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. Now, so that would be as an American. It says no person, okay? So it doesn't say no American or nobody who has the rights to be protected by the U.S. laws, so to speak. Of course, it's referring to them because it's going to be dealing with the laws in this country. But no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury. Now, there is a caveat here. There are times when it can be done, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, so those who are subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice because of their oath to become a military member, they would be, there's different rules for them, or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. So they're talking about a person who's of this country. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Oh, we failed to get him the first time. Let's try it again. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. Aha. Now, that's an important thing. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. What's happening is, if you take that can't compel them to be a witness against themselves out of there, let's just say that you can't compel somebody to be a witness against himself, less likelihood somebody's going to be tortured to become a witness against himself. So Amendment 5 is related to Amendment 8 in the U.S. Constitution. I bet you've never read, probably the vast majority of people under the sound of this broadcast have never read that. I've never read all the amendments to the Constitution. Originally, when the Constitution was made, those who put it together didn't think that this first 10 Amendment Bill of Rights thing needed to be there. But there were so many people like you around the country that wondered that maybe at some time a government and people in government who for whatever reason go there with the wrong perspective, they go there to serve themselves rather than to serve their neighbor and to uphold themselves rather than uphold the law. They thought if somebody had the power of the sword and they got into that office with that motivation, there could be great danger to them personally, people like you. There'd be great danger to you. So there is something we've seen in the news recently where the Department of Homeland Security and other, let's say, home protection agencies throughout the country have named people like you as those who are dangerous to America. That is a concern when people like the people that I talk to, the people that I talk to on this radio station, the people that call in, the people that I interview, as I just try to get your average person and ask them what their perspective is, turns out the average person that I encounter has a perspective like that listed in this dangerous people list. By the way, I went to look up this dangerous people list that was published by the Homeland Security people, and it disappeared. Every place that had cited it on the internet, the government had extracted the document. Now, that's scary, folks. When the government publishes something and then people publish it or republish it and make it available to others, and then the government, through the power of the sword, goes and extracts it from those people's websites, that is scary stuff. That is very scary stuff. And especially when they listed you as one of the people to be worried about. That's scary stuff. So it's important, as Mr. Obama said, if we cannot stand for those core values and we are not keeping faith with the documents that are enshrined with this hall. He's talking about this whole issue of torture as a mechanism or a legitimate means to accomplish our ends that we have to protect the country. He said, a framework that failed to rely on our legal traditions and time-tested institutions, that failed to use our values as a compass. That's why there's a Constitution. It really is. Because you're going to get spun up and you're going to lose track. You and I are going to lose track with justice. Because when we have a horrific event where we're watching people die who are in airplanes, you see airplanes flying into buildings, you're very aware those airplanes are filled with people who have been created in the image of God. You're very aware of it. And your heart breaks when you see that happen. It's grievous. It's horrific. And then you see this thing demolish a building, and a building's a building, but you realize, you know, there are people in that building. And when the flames are going upward, you know there are people between the flames and the roof of the building. And when you see people leaping and falling, really hundreds of feet, you know what's going to happen when they hit bottom. It grieves you. It's a horrific thing. And what happens is you have besides sorrow and grief and just the sense of oppression that comes with such a horrific experience, you want to take vengeance and you want to get even and you want to nip that in the bud and you want to you want to punish the perpetrators. It grieves you. Folks, I have to remember, take this moment to remind you and me that about, say, 3,000 people died on that day, which was amazing, was it was only that few. I mean, relative few. I mean, I see a significant amount of grace from Almighty God that people were saved from not being at work. People got sick. I mean, it was just really strange how few people were in those buildings as compared to what would normally be there. But we have to remember that, did you see how horrific that was, how evil it was for somebody to abuse somebody who is weak and innocent and just minding their own business, not harming anybody else, and suddenly their life is snuffed out. There are people being snuffed out daily in our nation. What's a comparison of the people that died on 9/11? It's like 0.001%. I don't know what's 3,000 people compared to 300 million. But there's 500 times more that many people being murdered every year in America. 500 times more people that are innocent being murdered in America. It is not with a handgun. It is with some kind of strange probe. There are innocent people in America dying. 500 times more people die every year in America from in utero infanticide. It's affecting our economy. That's something that I just had to do that. I had to take a moment of reflection. Now let's see what Mr. Obama says. He says, I know some have argued that brutal methods like waterboarding were necessary to keep us safe. I could not disagree more, Mr. Obama continued. As Commander-in-Chief, I see the intelligence. I bear responsibility for keeping this country safe, and I reject the assertion that these are the most effective means of interrogation. Now, even if they are effective, should you use them? That's a question that I pose to our listener. If it is effective, should you use it? And what's the basis? What's your reference? How can you justify it? That's important to do. If we're going to go back to our legal traditions and time-tested institutions and using values as our compass, even if it's effective, is effective the measurement? Is effective something that can justify something as effective? Is that something that can justify your behavior? What's more, they undermine the rule of law, Mr. Obama says. Listen to that. They might undermine the rule of law. And then here's the pragmatic things. He said they alienate us in the world. They serve as a recruitment tool for terrorists and increase the will of our enemies to fight us while decreasing the will of others to work with America. I'm going to come back to this. I think I'm just going to creep back a little bit before our next break and look at this thing that he said here. He says that after I was discussing the effective means of interrogation, he says, what's more, they undermine the rule of law. They alienate us in the world. Why is there a rule of law? One of the things that, the reason why there's a rule of law is because we can't figure out what is just. When we get attacked by a bunch of nuts stealing airplanes and driving them into buildings thinking that they're going to have a blessed harem when they get to heaven, boy, they think they experienced a fiery furnace in 9/11. I'm telling you, it's not going to be anything to compare what they're going to experience por vida, forever. Okay? It's just insane. But the rule of law, folks, the reason why there's a rule of law is because we do not understand justice. But people in their right minds who were just, when there was no emergency going on, sat down and put law together. In fact, they got in some cases, great big committees and discussed these things. And they're time-tested values that no matter what happens, no matter what storm comes our way in life, there's a measurement, there's a rule that we can go by that's going to preserve everybody's freedom. Ultimately, it's going to bring happiness and safety to you. There's a rule of law. It's fixed and invariable. It's there for your good, not for your hurt. Hey, here we are in this Faith and Freedom show. I do talk about the issues of the day on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Here on this Liberty Works Radio Network, we appreciate the Eagle 104.3 FM for giving us this opportunity to broadcast. And our website, my website, is faithfreedoms.org, where you can find also our podcast, faithfreedoms.net, and a zillion things that you can link to, especially LibertyWorksRadioNetwork.com, where you can hear 24 hours of streaming.